Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve Larson, and available wherever fine podcasts are, including the iOS podcast app. Be sure to leave a rating or review. It really helps the show. And also be sure to hit that subscribe and notify bell on the YouTube to make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steve Larson.
We have audio this time.
We actually have audio this time.
We actually already did this once, but didn't have audio on it.
We already did this podcast once. We have to talk about a three-hour Raw.
Again.
All over again. Today has not been our day,
has it? We
had
some technical issues. I had to make a quick trip home.
You don't want one of these
to address?
Nails?
No.
Why not?
I just had a croissant. I ordered a croissant. That was my snack. You know, I don't do the sugar anymore. Those are huge donut holes,
by the way. I look like Ving Rhames and Pulp Fiction.
Those are huge donut holes. I had to run home to take care of some stuff, came back, record the podcast, do the technical issues that happened before I had to run home.
The patrons didn't get their live stream?
Yeah, just it's been a messed up day. I have coffee, ate a croissant.
All right.
Trying to power through, get through the show.
We're also available on the Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
Unfortunately, the sale is over, but...
Hey, big shout out to everybody.
Yes.
Who lined our pocketbooks. Man, we had a lot of shirts sold.
I think we had, what, about 150 orders?
I think so, something like that.
Just during the course of the sale, roughly?
Yeah, we had a lot. It was fantastic. All those shirts are still available. They are no longer 20% off, but they're still fantastic shirts at a really good price. No, like $20.
Yeah, and we I think are hoping to get some more up before the end of the holidays, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, why not?
I mean, we still
I don't know what their cutoff date is for mailing.
Oh, I don't know either.
I don't know, I'll find that out.
But we still need to upload the Bad Wrestling and Rad Wrestling logos. Those deserve shirts of their own. We both have ideas for alternate Going In Raw designs.
Yeah, I want to do a bunch of like Going In Raw designs.
Yeah, it's funny, that's our bread and butter, yet we only have one design.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. We're weird. Anyways, this is our new bread and butter. Hey.
Hey. Bestseller. Top seller.
How great was it? That. I see. I'm going to be repeating myself. I hate repeating myself. I want a whole brand new experience.
Yeah, I know. I more or less forgot what all the points I made previously. So
it's okay. That on the up, up, down, downstream.
Oh, yes.
When Baron Corbin would show up, apparently the chat. And it sucks because on the YouTube, they don't let them on Twitch. On YouTube, they don't let you see the chat as the
Twitch
video
really
happens.
Twitch really is like a time capsule.
Twitch is great.
You can watch a stream, and whatever the chat was, you know, taking place at any point in that stream, it'll take you back to that moment.
Yeah, I know. It's fantastic.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
You can relive things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can't do that on YouTube.
Can't do that on YouTube. No. But you can see the chat, or you can't see it. I wish you could. But at one point, I guess somebody did a super chat, and then Big E would read the super chats out, and he said, hey, this is to Baron Corbin. You're not me. That's gonna come back to bite us in the ass. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
That's going to come back to bite us. Somehow, some way. We're going to be interviewing Baron at one of those great SummerSlam events. Run into him.
And he's going to be none too happy.
Maybe. I don't know. It's a joke. We both say good things about Baron Corbin.
Oh, yeah. He's improved a lot this year.
And it's funny because people
are
like...
If we have a category in Friendo Awards for Most Improved Wrestler... He has a good chance of winning.
Probably Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
I like Baron Corbin.
I do too.
I like him. You know, but we like to make fun. What is life if you don't get to make
like
fun?
We like to poke fun.
Yeah, we like to poke fun. Exactly. I don't consider us mean-spirited. Do you?
No.
I don't think we're mean-spirited.
No.
I think we're good people. Hey. You're a good person. That's what I want him
you're
to say.
You're decent folk, Steven Larson.
The pinnacle will be if we're able to get him to say on camera.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
You're not me.
Do you think he has a sense of humor about himself?
You would think so.
I would like to hope so.
But I don't know. Sometimes you get a vibe off people. Just like when we got the vibe off of like Bobby Roode. Like when we were going into that, knowing we were going to interview Bobby Roode, I was like, he doesn't come off to me like a video game guy.
But also, it was plainly evident that he was really tired.
Yeah, I know.
I think that was more the issue.
No, you're right. But then he sits down and I say, "Bye, hey, we're not going to make you play the video game. We just want to, you know, talk to you a little bit." And he said, "Thank God." Because I don't think he doesn't like doing video games, man. And it's not a knock. He just, Look, Bobby Roode has always come off like, I mean, he comes off like a jock kind of, you know, I mean, a really smart jock, but nonetheless, he seems like a manly man who is not into the kid stuff with the video games and stuff. You know, we're a couple of man children.
Yeah, pretty much.
He comes off like,
a
you know,
man.
A man, right? Men don't fool around with games. It's like The Punisher. I've been watching the John Bernthal Netflix Punisher. Oh, it's great. I love it. John Bernthal is great. Doesn't strike me as a video game guy, you know? Neither the actor nor the character of Frank Castle and Punisher. He's like, you know, man, I've killed some people, you know, that kind
of
guy.
But my my KDR and Call of Duty is fantastic, right, even better in real life.
Right, exactly, you know? So,
yeah, I don't see that happening.
No. Baron Corbin, I like to think he has a sense of humor.
I would like to hope so.
I think I probably have some stuff in common with Baron Corbin.
Such as?
Comic books, maybe?
No.
No? I don't think he's got... What is he like? What is he into? He likes metal, I think.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he is a foodie. He likes to try new
you
food.
You think so?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know, man. Maybe. Maybe he is.
I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he likes trying... I don't follow him on Twitter. You follow him on Twitter?
Do I? I don't know.
Does he post pictures of meals?
Well, I think I follow him on Instagram.
Oh, does he post pictures of meals?
Not really.
That'd be nothing.
Maybe here and there. There's a lot of pictures of him. He seems to be into the world traveling thing.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might be an adventurous eater then.
There you go. Yeah, he's probably a big mark for Bourdain.
Could be.
Could
I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up in an episode of Parts Unknown.
Yeah, maybe.
Where is Corbin billed from? Do you remember?
Not the...
Oh, Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City. Okay.
They have some good barbecue in Kansas City. So maybe someday Bourdain will go to Kansas City and talk to Baron Corbin, at a local barbecue establishment. I would really like that.
Maybe. I'd really like if he looked at the camera and said, "You're not me."
Hey, man.
Hey. Anyways, see, there's a conversation we didn't have in the first run.
There you go.
This should be a better podcast.
It'll be another podcast.
It'll be another one. Yeah, let's run through Raw again. It opened up with a Roman Reigns promo. Oh, my God. He bores me to death.
Yeah, when he has to deliver a scripted promo, it's, and I said this the first time, that he always kind of.
We're going to say that a lot.
I know. He always delivers it with this awkward, uncomfortable smile.
Yeah, I know.
Almost like he does it backstage, and it's like the equivalent of Kevin Owens asking Vince, "We good?" That's the vibe I get. Like, he
do you think Vince has ever said? Do you think Roman Reigns ever went up to Vince and said, "Hey Vince, we good?" Do you think, number one, has he ever approached Vince and said, "We good?"
No,
I don't think he has either. I think Roman knows in his head if he's good or not.
That, but also I think he knows regardless of what he does, Vince is gonna be cool with it.
He doesn't
need Vince's approval because he knows he has.
He understands that he'll never hear no out of Vince's mouth. You're right about that. Anyways, he cuts a promo basically saying he had a very adventurous week.
Yeah.
Survivor Series, winning the Intercontinental Championship, et cetera, et cetera. And he kind of had like an open challenge type thing, right?
Well, on WWE.com, they said, "Will Roman do it?" But it didn't really pan out that way on Raw because the Miz Taraj came out. Because part of Roman's promo was that he was kind of talking trash about the Miz. Miz Taraj comes out, defends the Miz's honor because he's not there. He's off shooting a movie.
All right, good for them doing that.
Yeah, I'm happy they're still on TV.
Yeah.
Elias comes out and sets up a match between himself and Roman for the Intercontinental title, but it wasn't a formal open invitation. I think it was more Roman just saying, comparing himself to the Miz, saying, "The Miz didn't defend the title very much. I'm going to be a fighting champion."
Right.
That was pretty much the gist of it. It wasn't like John Cena with the formal U.S. open challenge.
Hey, you know what would go a long way in my mind and my heart anyways towards building Roman the way he needs to be built?
What
if he defended that title literally every week?
Oh yeah,
every week on Raw he defends the IC title.
You should.
Every week.
That'd be great.
No needing to build up to anything, just
hold
defend
on.
The damn
not
title
just every week. Raw every show.
Oh, yeah.
Every house show he defends that Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
Every Raw, every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Until he loses it or is stripped of it. How are the donut holes?
They're good. Make sure that last one.
No, I'm not going to have any sugar.
It's one donut hole.
Yeah, full of sugar.
Whatever.
I don't eat sugar anymore.
I don't eat sugar anymore. You sound stupid when you say that.
I don't care what you think.
We good?
No.
Then I stand there awkwardly. So awkward. Have you watched that thing yet?
Not yet, no. No.
Are we good?
No.
All right. Anyways, moving on. Next up, we got an 8-hour match between Seth Rollins and Cesaro.
It was a good match. I just wish there were some stakes involved because...
Well, there kind of were stakes involved, though.
Well, no,
because
no,
at
no,
the
no,
end
no,
of the
no,
match,
no, no,
he announced
no, no.
he got a tag team title rematch.
No, no, no. He didn't announce that he got that. He said he wants that.
Oh.
It wasn't a situation where if Seth wins, he gets a title shot for him and Dean. He said because he won, now he wants that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have a rematch clause.
Yeah. So regardless of what he, if he won or lost, they can invoke the rematch clause.
Yeah, but if he lost, wouldn't Cesaro just go up to Kurt Angle and say, look at this man. He lost against me, man.
Because Kurt Angle would say, no, it's in their contract. They have a rematch clause is in writing.
He would say, no, he would say, we don't settle things in contracts. We settle them in the ring.
No, he wouldn't say it.
I think he would.
No, he wouldn't.
Next up.
But it was a good match.
No, yeah, it was a good match.
Seth won with his knee finisher thing.
his knee finisher.
I don't know. In an interview, he just called it That Cool Knee, which I like as a name.
Yeah, me too. I know.
That Cool Knee.
There is no official name.
No.
Huh? That's awesome.
I think they were going to call it King's Landing. I thought I heard that somewhere. But Ricochet, one of his moves called that.
Oh, yeah. He can't do that.
So he can't do that.
Yeah.
So there's no official name as far as I'm aware. And yeah, Seth gave an interview. He wants a tag title rematch. It was confirmed later on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, Dean and Seth will take on Thebar for the tag titles.
Yeah.
They'll probably win the titles back.
Good stuff.
Next, what are you doing?
I'm loading up the Kevin Owens bits.
Oh, my God.
Just so you can
stop.
See it.
Let's just get through the podcast.
Whoa.
Just stop. Focus on what we're trying to do here.
Hey, look, man, there's two of us. One of us can be doing the rundown. The other one can be finding this awesome bit.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, it's hilarious.
I've seen that clip already.
Really?
Yes.
No.
I saw it on Twitter.
You just told me no, though.
I hadn't seen the whole thing. That's what you're asking me.
Yeah. Anyways, what happened next?
You tell me, Steve.
Kurt Angle was backstage with the Cruiserweights. See, I already got another podcast once. I could do this in my sleep. Kurt Angle backstage with Cruiserweights. And they're like, hey, listen, we're having a problem with the Zotrain. And he said, what the hell is a Zotrain? And they said, it's Enzo when he's doing like a gangbang situation, when he's got all his buddies in there. And they're all like, you know, it's the Zotrain. Ew. Enzo probably calls it that too, because you know he does dirty things like that.
I think he just got us demonetized by saying that.
Oh, no! What, GB?
Yeah. That's why you should be focusing on what you're doing and not scrolling through a documentary.
That has nothing to do with this. One has nothing to do with the other.
I wonder about that.
Oh, look, he's so upset right now.
We can't even play the audio for that, man.
No, we're not going to play the audio. We don't need to. I don't know what your problem is right now.
Let's get this podcast done, then we can worry about that.
Whoa, we have an hour to fill, man.
Well, I understand that.
At this point, 45 minutes.
I understand that. We have an hour to fill.
You're the one talking about this instead of this.
I know, because you're distracting me. I'm asking you to not distract me.
Yeah, every time you pick up that stupid guitar, you distract me.
But I don't do it during the actual show.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Next.
Oh, so Kurt Angle's talking to Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann, Mustafa Ali, and Akira
All
Tozawa.
All the faces.
And they just won an opportunity to challenge the Cruiserweight title. Kurt says, you will get that opportunity.
He busts out some like crazy math.
Yeah, he said over the next 3 weeks, there should be a series of matches to determine a new number one contender for the Cruiserweight title. And then...
Watching, he
wants explanation.
He just stands there.
He wants an explanation.
Oh, it's so so awkward. Oh, and it doesn't
that's
stop.
A bummer.
See, he just stands there.
That's a bummer.
So you had to watch that. See,
and so he
so
says,
much talking to me like you're my dad. Get out of here.
This week, after the show's over, you need to clean your room.
Am I grounded now?
Yeah. Nice. No TV for a week. Take your 70-inch TV back.
Oh, I bought my 70-inch TV.
There you go. This week, Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah.
Next week, Fatal 4-Way. The winner of those two matches will face off against each other, determine a new number one contender for
the
Cruiserweight title.
What about it, like a freaking Royal Rumble? Or a Battle Royal? There's 8 of them. Just do it all at this one time.
No, I'd rather see two Fatal 4-Ways because then there's more opportunities to do some cool stuff.
Yeah, it was a fun match.
You don't do cool stuff usually in Battle Royals. Just toss people to the top rope.
Oh, that's my favorite. Elimination is the best.
No, they should have done.
The Fatal 4-Way Elimination.
Beat the Clock Challenge.
Ooh, 6-Pack Challenge. Cool.
Beat the Clock Challenge.
Wild Card Finals.
Yes, there you go. Next, Samoa Joe took on Titus O'Neil. Titus had a decent showing.
They booked him strong.
Yeah. But we knew what the result was going to be.
Yeah.
Titus tapping out to the Coquina Clutch, and that is exactly what happened.
Yeah, but they gave this match plenty of time, and Titus looked amazing in it. So good for them. That's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Apollo Crews
Ooh, I thought I was going in.
Apollo Crews got in the ring after the match. He, too.
Bad move, Apollo Crews.
Tapped out to the Coquina Clutch.
That should be his new gimmick, Bad Life Decisions, Apollo Crews. Before he makes a decision, they freeze frame on him.
And you...
What should
you
I
hear,
do next?
Do you hear the internal monologue?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. My buddy's in there getting Coquina Clutched. Should I go in, or should I maintain my distance? I should go in. No, it's a bad life decision, Apollo.
But I need to go in. That's Titus in there. He's my friend.
And then when he's getting choked out by Joe, freeze frame. Big X on the screen. That's great.
Next.
Who'd have thought this was more fun the second time around?
Sasha Banks, Mickie James, and Bayley were scheduled to take on Paige, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. However, Alexa Bliss goes to the commentary table. Sasha comes to the ring. Mickie James' music hits. But there is no Mickie James.
Oh, okay. So
same
several
with Bayley.
Things. Several things I forgot to mention in the first round of this podcast.
Well, we have to do it over again. Then,
I know. Huh? Seth, we should do this every week. Seth Rollins' music. No Burn It Down.
That's good.
Was that a wrong audio cue or is that poignant?
I hope it's the latter.
I think it's an audio. I think it's the wrong audio cue. I think somebody's hit the wrong button. I get that from Alex C. He suggested that on Twitter.
We'll find
night.
Out next week.
Yeah. And then second, I forgot to mention this. When Paige, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville come out. So, yeah, they show Bayley and Mickie James getting, you know, beat up,
well,
basically.
The aftermath.
Yeah. Yes. And when they come out, it cuts to commentary table, and Alexa Bliss goes,
oh, yeah, she just sneaks off.
She sneaks off.
That was pretty
funny. That was awesome. Good for her.
Paige drops a promo, gives a name to her new faction.
Absolution.
Yes, and they explain their motives for what they're doing.
I kind of like this. You don't often, I said this the first time around, you don't often get henchmen or henchwomen in this case explaining their motivation. They were saying, we pledge our allegiance to Paige because she did it first and we didn't forget about that. And the annoying crowd wanted Sonya Deville, but I thought she did a slam bang job on the mic.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, she wasn't flustered at all.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And then Mandy Rose, she did a good job too. My only thing is this. Last night, Paige said again, I'm back. That needs to be it. That needs to be done. That cannot be like a catchphrase of some sort or something like that. It's just, you said the first time it was good. Second time, didn't need it. We know you're back. We understand.
Yeah. She already has catchphrases. This is my house.
This is my house.
Screaming.
And yeah, screaming. And now, Absolution.
Yeah. So, Absolution. Surround the ring. They get in the ring. They attack Sasha. They each give Sasha their respective finishers. And then stand tall.
Yeah.
To end the segment. Next, Bray Wyatt.
Oh, man.
Versus Matt Hardy. Bray dropped a promo before his match telling everybody that they're dead.
When I was a kid, man. What did he say? Man, I didn't have holidays and we didn't celebrate. Apparently, what's his dad's name? Rotunda? Mike Rotunda?
Yeah.
Apparently, Mike Rotunda. Might have been like a, I'm not talking crap, but like a Jehovah's Witness. Because I had a cousin who was a Jehovah's Witness. And they didn't celebrate a holiday. Like they came over Easter, and then he would like not let them get an Easter egg hunt. I always thought that was a little jacked up. My mom yelled at him once. I think they're fine these days. But yeah, my mom yelled at him. At the uncle.
All right.
My uncle.
I don't,
maybe Mike Rotunda is a Jehovah's Witness.
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand the gist of Bray's promo because he was complaining about that.
Maybe he was one of my cousins.
And then he was telling everybody that they were dead.
Man, I went over to cousin Stevie's house.
Why was he yelling at everybody that they were dead? I missed that part.
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, we're all dead inside.
He meant spiritually?
Really. These days, yeah, we're all dead inside, you know. Take one look at the world that we live in. I'm dead inside. Man, I went over to cousin Stevie's house. I was looking forward to chasing those little Easter eggs, finding them under the leaves and the trees and the shed. And then my dad said, no, man. And then Aunt Rita yelled at my dad. Then he choked her out. Whoa.
Wow.
Anyways,
Bray won with Sister Abigail.
And then, yeah, they broke. Apparently that broke Matt Hardy.
Yeah, he kind of, Bray.
He cried in the corner of the ring.
Well, he kind of was hunched in the corner in, I guess, the lower turnbuckle.
Yeah.
He screamed and started doing a bunch of deletes.
Yeah. So.
And only about a quarter of the crowd was really into it. They were doing the delete thing, too.
This is a yeah. The crowd, I mean, it's not a really good representation of like the normal WWE crowd. They were weird.
Well, yeah, I couldn't tell if the show itself was lacking energy and the crowd was a reflection of that or vice versa. The crowd was low on energy, and so the show seemed to be not terribly energetic.
It was a little bit of A and a little bit
probably.
Of B, you know? They came in there kind of snoozy.
But also, they waited way too long to do anything with the
fucking thing.
Where were they? Knoxville, Tennessee, I think.
Is it cold over there right now?
Maybe
they're all on NyQuil.
I don't know. Why? Wait. If it's just cold outside, why would you be on NyQuil?
Yeah, I have colds, man.
Oh, I thought you said, was it cold there, as in temperature?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Do you think an arena of 10,000 people all happen to be ill at the same time?
Yeah, maybe. Stuff gets around quick.
That seems like a serious health issue, then.
It gets around, man. Knoxville, Tennessee weather. Here we go.
But anyways.
Oh, it's not that bad. It's like here.
Yeah, so it's fine.
How is it 50% humidity and 53 degrees? It's like cold, but it's humid?
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
That can happen?
That's how rain happens, it's man.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah. Humidity is just okay.
It's just the moisture in the air.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. I don't like when it's hot and humid. That's
annoying.
That's
the worst.
Because you're just walking around and
you
sweat a lot.
Instantly,
yeah.
I know. So anyways, it seems like they're really
teasing. But you don't go outside when it's like rainy and say, oh, it's humid out here.
No, because you're getting rain now. Because it's so humid that
if it's wet and stuff. Yeah. It's go outside when it's cold. Say it's humid out here.
Not because you won't sweat.
Oh, man.
Although if it's like 65 degrees and it's super humid, you still might sweat a little bit.
At 65, yeah, but not at 55.
No, probably not.
That's what it's at right now over there.
So this seems to be the clearest indication that they have some designs on doing something with this broken character soon, maybe,
Look,
if
dude,
they have the legal
even
rights to it in some capacity.
Senor Benjamin came out of hiding, too. He's on Twitter now. He did something, and then Rebby did something, I think, on Twitter. Look, dude, here's the deal. This is the bottom line on this. If there's no pre-filmed drone shots of stuff, then
it's not the broken universe.
If there's no V1, if there's no, you know, named, you know, drones that have AI of some sort.
Yeah.
If there's no Brother Nero, if we don't get to see the Hardy compound, it's not broken.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Agreed.
Just saying.
Agreed.
I want to make sure we have sound.
I checked that already.
Nah, I know. I'm just double checking.
All right. Next. Kurt Angle and Jason Jordan backstage. Kurt Angle was checking in on his son, make sure his knee was no longer injured.
Yeah.
And Jason Jordan says, no, I'm good to go.
Man, I'm firmly on the...
Jason Jordan's doing a good job.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
I'm firmly in the Booker T line of thought. I can't stand him. He's terrible.
That means he's doing his job well.
No, man, it's awful. He's so whiny.
Yeah, he's doing his job.
Talks about his dumb... Oh, yeah, look at that. Humidity here, 55. Man, I'm going to start saying that, man. It's humid out here. You're like, no, it's just raining. 55% humid out here. What would 100% humidity be? Is this raining a lot? A lot of rain. What would that be?
I don't know
either. Man, weird.
I'm not a meteorologist.
That'd be a job you want?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be fun, huh? Weather patterns and stuff.
Would you want to be working at a news station, or would you actually want to do research?
I don't know. I want to be on TV.
Oh, so yeah, I think it'd be more interesting to actually work like the United States Weather Service or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind doing that for earthquakes.
Yeah, that'd be cool, too.
That'd be cool. Tectonic shifting.
Seismologist.
Seismologist, yeah.
Yeah.
Be like Pig Vomit in the Rock movie where he fights earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
Look, man, we already said all this crap. I got to make things interesting.
Jason Jordan's
annoying.
Just saying, yeah, I'm healthy. I want to fight Kane.
Here's the problem with Jason Jordan. Number one, you're right. You are absolutely correct. Now that they have a direction for him, which seems to be whiny heel, who is a bit pompous, but also a kind of dullard. then that's a direction for him. That's something you can do.
Yes.
Okay. And he's performing it great.
Yes, he is.
I don't think he's actually a dullard. I think he actually is getting a kick. He did that promo last night, and I think he was actually kind of getting a kick out of saying things like, I'm a professional athlete.
I know my body.
I think he's got something he can grab on, and I think that's great.
Yes.
That's kind of a dangerous territory to be on if your ultimate goal is heel who people... I mean, ultimately, what do you want? You want to be a heel that's so good as a heel you turn face. That's ultimately what you want. Whiny guy who gets hurt a lot in matches...
Fakes injuries.
That's the scenic route. That's a long ways off from success in that
category.
Doesn't
mean you have to take a direct route to to superstardom. I don't know, slow man. Burn, man. Sometimes that's the best way.
I guess so. Hey, it's something. It's better than what he was doing before.
Yep.
So I'll say that. I do love, I absolutely love Booker T.
Oh, he's great.
Just clowning him. It's great. And I mentioned this the first time around. The dynamic where Corey Graves isn't heel or face. He simply is counter to whatever Booker T decides to do on that day. Because I will almost guarantee you this is Booker T calls this as if it's real at his own predilections, mm-hmm. regardless of the heel or face thing. And it works so perfectly.
Yeah.
It works so great. Next up, we had the Cruiserweight Fatal 4-Way.
Akira Tozawa versus Rich Swann versus Noam Dar versus Arya Daivari. Good match. Especially that bit where Rich Swann and Tozawa were in the ring, just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
There was fast pace.
Oh, it was fun.
Action. It was great.
I was bummed out, man. There was that spot that seemed like it could have been a finish where Daivari hits a great splash onto Rich
Frog
Swann.
Frog splash, yeah.
Frog splash. And
then Tozawa pulls Rich Swann out of the ring.
Right,
I think.
Yeah. I was hoping for – I wanted to see Daivari win this.
But instead, Rich Swann won after pinning Noam Dar with the Phoenix Splash.
And what is your theory on who the final two contestants are going to be?
Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander. And that'll be a phenomenal match.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And regardless who wins, I think we're going to have a good face opponent for Enzo.
Well, okay, yeah.
We've seen Rich Swann as Cruiserweight champion.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And depending on the quality of the writing he's given, he can do really great work. Mm-hmm. Speaking of mic work, he's always fantastic in the ring.
Yeah.
He could do really good work on the mic. Like a lot of stuff he did with TJP was really good. But then there was some stuff that he did prior to that, just based on the writing, just wasn't that great.
My worry with Cedric Alexander is they are hesitant to take any risks with his character because he seems like the total package at this point. But if you have nothing to do or nothing for your character to hold on to, you're just going to be boring.
Yeah, I know.
And I feel like they're hesitant.
Do you think is a situation where they see Cedric, see that he has all the tools, see that he can be a huge star, and are just afraid of screwing it all
yeah,
up?
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what I mean, yeah.
Instead of being excited about the opportunity of having someone like that in the company?
There are some really safe ways to do it.
Yeah.
For one thing, the numbers game. If you... have him have to take on some impossible odds and he comes through. I mean, you know, Dolph Ziggler got over with that fighting the Authority.
I thought Survivor Series some of the program with him and Gallagher and Kendrick was good where he had that match where he really showed an aggressive streak.
I know that was good and then they sort of dropped it. It is, I think that is the case though. I think that they have something that they don't want to mess up, but They're getting, I don't know, performance anxiety or something.
Yeah, you
got to
do something.
Got to do something with him.
Do
man.
Something.
Because otherwise he's going to go in. I think you're right. I think it's going to be him versus Swann. I think he's going to go over, and he's going to be walking into this Enzo Amore match completely outmatched on the mic, not because he can't do it, but because he's not given anything to work mm-hmm. with, in which case you're dead in the water. Enzo's mm-hmm. going to retain somehow, and he
mm-hmm.
shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Elias Sampson. He got like a 20-minute segment with
The Miz. Yeah, it was a long segment. He's out there. He's dropping a promo. He sings an ode to The Miz.
It was great.
And then he introduces the Miztourage and they join him on instrumental.
Yeah, and, harmonicas.
Yeah, they were on harmonicas, pre-recorded, where the Drifter was playing a bluesy riff.
Yeah.
And I love Brian Zane's tweet about this because it was spot on.
Yeah.
Talking about how the harmonica recordings
mm-hmm.
were in a completely different key
mm-hmm.
from whatever the Drifter was playing on guitar.
Yeah.
And that was very true.
No, it was fantastic. I loved it. Again, I feel like the crowd needed to respond in some way, you know?
I kind of felt that in the main event, too.
Yeah, and I actually felt that a couple of times.
There wasn't a major response to anything in the main event.
Well, okay, but the main
event... Especially like the Braun-Kane stuff.
Yeah, you're right. And that's, you're right. And that's when they should be responding. However, at that point, that was Kane's third main event guy for the night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, but it's Braun.
Yeah, I know. No, I agree. I could just see how the crowd might be like. I mean, at that point, the crowd should be really into it because you're getting all sorts of different people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just. It was a weird crowd. When I say weird, I mean dead.
Next, Elias.
Maybe Bray knew exactly what he was talking about. Man, what a crap crowd tonight, man.
He was trying to get the crowd fired up, but.
Yeah.
He's calling. Like me, they were confused by what he was saying.
Yeah.
So next, Elias versus Roman Reigns for the Intercontinental title.
It was a long match, and they booked Elias strong.
Yeah, Elias looked great, and to Roman's credit, he stole for Elias, made him look like $1 million.
Yeah, man, at this point, I think Roman needs to stop doing that. He just needs to bulldoze people. You think, what did we say earlier? We said that there's no way Vince is ever going to say no to him. So why doesn't he just... Because, look, if he's having problems with Elias Samson, am I supposed to believe that he's going to beat Brock Lesnar?
Well, what have you been saying for the longest time, that Reigns needs to encounter some struggles?
Yeah, I don't like that anymore. Now I just want no struggle so that I believe him against Brock Lesnar. That's what I want.
Well, Brock struggled against all his opponents. He struggled against AJ Styles. AJ almost beat him.
What a great match that was.
That was great.
Yeah, that was awesome. I like that you agree with me. After Roman beat Elias Samson, he got attacked by Samoa Joe. And man,
that was phenomenal.
Talk about looking vulnerable. Joe choked him out with a coquina clutch.
Released, went back and choked him with his bare hands.
Attempted murder from Samoa Joe.
Released.
And then Roman Reigns had a face like this. I think he was going to cry.
Well, I would cry too if Samoa Joe attacked me once, much less twice.
Oh, that'd be terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't cry, though.
Heck yes, I would.
Oh, I wouldn't cry.
Yeah, you would.
Oh, I wouldn't cry.
You'd probably passed out, so you couldn't cry.
Well, that could be, but if I hadn't passed out, I wouldn't cry.
Yeah, you would.
I don't cry. I cry for, like, emotionally touching things, like at a Sigur Rós concert.
Oh, yeah.
I'll cry at that, or if my dog is dying. You've seen me cry.
Mm-hmm.
But not physical pain. I don't cry at
that. I don't think you've ever felt the pain that Samoa Joe can inflict upon
you.
Sure,
I have. I've been in plenty of fights. That bit I did in San Quentin, it got rough in there, man.
You are spinning some serious yarns right now,
Steve. People are trying to touch my beehole.
Furthest from the truth. No truth of that. I don't even think you know where San Quentin is.
It's in the Bay Area.
Be a little more specific.
That's close enough for me, man, because you're right. I have no idea. Where's Folsom Penitentiary? Is that actually in Folsom over here?
Yeah.
So we're like 20 minutes away?
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Could you point it out on the map?
No, I couldn't. I have no idea where it is.
Okay.
Where is it?
I know where it is.
Where?
It's in Folsom.
Yeah, so are you crapping me right now?
No,
I
know where it is.
Where is it?
It's kind of in the north.
How do you get there?
East part of town.
How do you get there?
I assume there's roads. I've never driven. Well, that's not true. When I was young, I did drive by it.
So it's kind of out of the way then?
No.
Okay, well, if I want to go to Palladio from here, I'm not going to pass it, correct?
No.
Okay.
But Folsom is large enough that there's a whole lot of Folsom north of there. Between where that part of town is and the lake, there's a whole lot of Folsom.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying, it's not near here. It's not near the outlets. Not near Palladio. Those are the only places in Folsom I ever go.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not too far from Folsom Zoo.
We should go someday.
The Folsom Prison?
Do you think they have like a gift shop there?
Doubtful.
Probably not. I mean, it's kind of a historic place. Isn't that where Johnny Cash performed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't they sell Johnny Cash shirts there?
They might, but I highly doubt it.
They might. They don't do that, man. Get out of here. Anyways.
I was humoring you, Steve.
They might.
Can you tell I was like the most condescending? They might.
No, I want to end this conversation.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Like, they might, but I highly doubt it. Let's move on to talk about wrestling again.
This was great.
Asuka versus Dana Brooke. So Asuka comes out. She's great.
I'm going to run this down like I ran it down the first time because I was really happy with myself. Asuka comes down. She looks like $1 million. Looks amazing, right? That great song. I know, I've already said all this, so just you get that out of the way and then don't say it again. She looks great. She comes in. Dana Brooke's music hit. To myself, I literally out loud say, again?
Again?
Right? Between her on the ramp and then her in the ring, they do a picture-in-picture video promo with her.
Yes.
And she says, Asuka, last week I found your weakness. You're a slow starter. And so when that bell rings, I'm going to be on you so fast, you're not going to know what hit you, or something like that. And as soon as they ring the bell, Asuka bum rushes her, takes her down in like an arm, what is an arm drag?
Cross
arm breaker. And she taps out.
Pretty much immediately.
Within moments of that bell ringing, she was done. I thought it was great. And I knew as soon as Dana Brooke in that little promo thing said, when the bell rings, I'm going to rush you. You're not going to. I was like, oh, you're going down quick.
Yep. Yeah, they telegraphed that.
It was fantastic.
But it was still good.
I loved it. Anyways, then Absolution, Paige, Sonya, and Mandy Mandy Rose
kind surround of the ring.
Yeah.
There's kind of a stare down between them and Asuka.
At that point, at least then the crowd started chanting, Asuka's going to kill you. At least they got into it to that degree.
True. Paige made a move like she was going to enter the ring.
Yeah.
She had second thoughts, nodded to Mandy Rose. They backed away. Asuka seemed to relish the whole situation.
Sure, yeah. She wanted
like
to
she
eat
was
them.
Just waiting.
She wanted to have a freaking golden Mandy Golden Corral buffet right there.
And she leaves the ring. So I don't know if they're setting this up for as soon as the Rumble, this match.
Man, it better not be. I don't want it. Don't want it. Nope. This needs to be a tease for Mania. That's it. Needs to be a tease for Mania. I'm telling you. Paige takes the title off Alexa Bliss at the Rumble. They move on. Asuka wins the Women's Rumble. And then that sets up Mania. That's how it needs to happen. Has to go down that way.
I agree with you. That's probably not how they're going to do it.
Okay, give me most likely in terms of what you know about the WWE.
It's going to be Asuka versus Paige at the Rumble.
Oh, you think so? I mean, Asuka has to win.
Yeah.
Oh.
She'll win that, and then she'll be in the Rumble itself and win that, too.
I mean, that I kind of like that idea. That's definitely not going to happen.
No.
Yeah.
Next, Jason Jordan versus Kane. Before the match, Jason Jordan dropped a promo where he said, I'm a professional athlete. I know my body.
I'm a professional athlete.
I heard my knee pop last week, but thanks to the quality medical staff here in WWE, I'm back to being 100%.
Yeah.
And so he's saying that he was fit and ready to take on Kane.
I'm interested to see what development we're going to see on a week-to-week basis with Jason Jordan and this angle they're taking with his character.
He's got a lot of heat on him.
And see how whiny he can get, how much he can milk it without getting too cartoonish.
Yes.
But then if he doesn't get cartoonish, I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
So, this was weird because he was scheduled to take on Kane.
Well, he did take on Kane.
He took on Kane.
He was actually holding his own. Kane threw him out of the ring. Jason Jordan landed on his knee, re-injured his knee.
Right.
Was counted out.
Right.
Following
match
the
over.
Yeah, following
match over.
The count-out victory, Kane.
Should be it.
Goes back to beating up Jason Jordan.
Right.
Gets him, because Jason Jordan gets back in the ring at like 10 and a half.
Yeah, and he thinks he's going to keep on fighting or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, no, Kane tosses him right back outside the ring.
Right, exactly.
Beats him up. Finn Balor comes out, makes the save. Commercial break. We come back, and it's Finn versus Kane.
That's dumb.
Well, Kurt Angle just might have made the call during the commercial break, man.
That's dumb. Why does Kane have to take on two matches? He's got a political career ahead of him. He's older. That's unfair.
Maybe he wanted to.
Did he say that? You're just throwing things out there now. I want concrete answers. Yeah, my better thing is this is crap.
It's not crap.
Why does Kane have to take on two matches?
Finn versus Kane. That's good.
Didn't make any sense.
Who cares?
Nobody backstage said, wait a second, why is Kane starting another match?
Because Kurt Angle said it was okay. Commentary said that.
I don't know. I want to see a conversation between Kurt Angle and Kane.
They don't have time, man. That happened during the commercial break.
Kurt.
Why does it have to be a conversation? Kurt Angle's a GM. What he says goes.
Kurt.
They settle their disputes in the ring.
I don't want another match against
Finn
Balor.
It's not a good Kane impression.
Hey, Kurt.
And actually, Finn Balor had the upper hand for the vast majority of this match.
Yeah.
Until Kane produced the chair, hit him with it outside the ring. He is disqualified. Finn Balor is your winner. Kane gets Finn back in the ring and starts wailing away on him with the chair, hitting the back several times.
Yeah.
Wraps that chair around his head.
Oh, that was nasty.
Scaled to the top rope for some sort of devastating maneuver for Braun Strowman to come out and make the save.
Mm-hmm.
He and Kane go at it. Culminating in Braun power slamming Kane on top of the ring steps very gingerly.
I wish I had like a
Braun
little,
is a safe worker.
I wish I had like a little doll, little baby doll. I can illustrate how Braun Strowman power slammed. I have a ton of stuffed animals of Bama's out there. He cradled him like a little baby,
mm-hmm.
like a little preemie, a little tiny baby. Cradled him and said, "All right, I'm going to let you down easy now on these steps." And then, like, just sort of gently, very gingerly, like you said.
Safe worker.
Just let, like, in a poof of cloud.
Yes.
Laid him down on the steps. I love that about Braun.
Yeah.
Braun doesn't mind looking silly
to
when,
protect
he's,
somebody.
When he's protecting people.
I respect that. He's a professional.
Big pillow arms.
He's a professional.
Yeah, he is.
Braun produces the chair that Kane used on Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And did to Kane what Kane did to him last
week.
Oh,
I hate that spot.
Try to crush his larynx.
I don't like that spot.
Did it to him twice.
Looks terrifying. I'm always relieved when I hear somebody coughing afterwards because I'm like, you wouldn't be coughing.
No, you'd be
Yeah.
Sound like you after you laugh a little bit.
Right, exactly. All the air is gone. You'd be doing this. Yeah. Universal sign for you just mess my neck.
Yeah. So when do we think we're going to see Braun versus Kane in their blow-off match? Next week? 2 weeks from now?
Well, the bigger question is what kind of match is it going to be? Last man standing match?
Yeah, I think that'd be ideal.
They already did Cage with Big Show. I don't think he ever did Last Man Standing with Big Show.
No, he didn't, but he did that with Sami Zayn. Braun did.
Oh, that's different.
No, I know. It was a while ago. It was beginning of the year.
Yeah. And plus, that's like Sami proving, yeah. Yeah, Last Man Standing match. And then maybe Finn and Kane can have a thing. I still think, we talked about this in the first round. I totally think Finn-Brock is still happening at the Rumble.
No, and I explained last time, I'll do it again here, that depending on the sequence of events, they can still have that match and use Finn's story with Kane to build to it. Finn's first match against Kane, he was thoroughly dominated and lost. Following week, he was tombstoned at the top of the ramp by Kane. This week, he at least held his own, if not more or less had control of the match for the vast majority of it until Kane used the chair. So in the next 2 weeks, we have Braun Kane, their blow-off match. Braun goes over. Following that, Finn and Kane can have a match, their blow-off. Finn goes over. Finn finally defeats the monster in Kane. Now he's ready to step up and take on Lesnar. But to make Braun's defeat of Kane more impressive, he has to beat Kane first before Finn does.
Yeah.
If Finn beats Kane before Braun beats Kane, it's not going to be as...
It waters down Braun's victory. No, yeah. I agree with you. I think we're going to get Braun-Kane first, and I think Finn-Kane might even happen in two go-rounds once he loses his man, Balor, and then he brings... I mean, they call Kane the demon, and you got the demon. It's perfect. It makes perfect sense.
Do you think they wait till the Royal Rumble to do that?
No, because Finn's going to be taking on Kane at the Rumble.
Oh, Lesnar, you mean? That's right. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Lesnar. I keep saying that. No, I think it's all going to happen on Raw. We have 2 months. So they'll have some sort of maybe super show. They'll make a big deal about this. This is the first time, I think, we're going to see the demon fighting on Raw. Because I don't think we've seen that before.
I don't think so either.
Pumpkin Balor showed up.
I think Demon Balor has showed up on
Raw. Okay. He has shown up, but he's never fought. And so they'll make a big deal about that. And he's taking on Kane. It'll be the main event. It'll be a 20-minute long match, maybe longer, but it's Kane. And Finn Balor will go over. They will somehow, part of the story with Finn and Brock leading to the Rumble will involve Finn either being manipulated or tricked or convinced to show up as Man Balor, not Demon Balor. That way you protect the demon. Finn can eat the loss and you're fine. And there's not really going to be a chance at a rematch as Demon Balor because the next match is going to be at Mania and Roman will have won the Rumble.
Yeah.
There you go.
And as far as the actual Brock Finn match, just follow the AJ Styles template.
That's what you do.
That's what you do. So exactly. Finn still comes out of it looking good.
Yeah.
Because AJ came out of that match looking like $1 million.
Looking amazing. Exactly. They heap praise on him.
Yep.
Totally. So, yeah. All right, let's answer questions again.
Yeah.
First, from...
Sorry, I don't have them up.
No, I know, me neither.
I'm almost there. Almost there. Almost there. There it is. Who's going to get there first? Apparently I did.
Well, I just don't have any of the liked questions. Like questions. Jack from Alex Dolan. Knight. Hey, Steven Larson, returning Patreon. So after the Jason Jordan squash, Finn Balor came out and had a match with Kane. Then Finn was saved by Braun. However, Finn is technically in a feud with Kane, and so is Strowman. My question is, what is Finn's involvement leading to? Does creative not have anything for him to do and are just waiting, or is this leading to a triple threat? What I just said about 5 minutes ago...
Yeah, what we just said.
...applies to this question.
Yes, very much so. Jack Dolan, you are each captain of a starship and Starfleet. Which wrestlers do you put in each of the main cabin positions? So let's go position by position. Number one, first officer.
Number one, you can't see me, John Cena. I can't imagine anybody better to lead the away team than John Cena.
I'm going to say AJ Styles because New Shirt says he's the one that gets it done.
Oh, the number one that gets it done.
AJ Styles.
The phenomenal number one.
Phenomenal number one.
Wow, what a great answer. I might also, my backup would be Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, send him out there too.
Chief of Security.
Braun Strowman.
Brock Lesnar.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure his heart can handle the field work. You're in some really... He'd be like, you go back and like, oh man, we got a couple of Romulan warbirds on our bow. They're decloaking. Can we? Why are you so purple right now?
That's because he's hyped for battle, man.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Yeah, no. Brock's perfect.
And on top of that, I feel like I'd be susceptible to some sort of like mutiny.
Mm.
You know, Brock might try to take over. Nothing I can do to stop that.
Well, you couldn't do anything if Braun decided to take over.
Braun wouldn't do that. Did you see Braun and Kurt Angle at the go home for Survivor Series?
Yes, I saw that.
He comes out, he waits for his command. Kurt Angle gives him the nod, and he goes and does it. That's Braun Strowman. What did you call him earlier? A professional.
He's a professional.
Brock is not a professional.
Well, as long as he's paid, he's a professional.
He'll German suplex me out of the airlock, and I can't do anything about it.
Can't.
I'd set my phaser to vaporize, and he'd eat it.
Yeah, he would.
Eat it, yeah.
Eat it, yeah.
Who's science officer?
Xavier Woods.
Yeah, doesn't he have... PhD. Doesn't he actually have a PhD?
Yeah.
Or does he just put that in his Twitter handle?
I'm pretty sure he has a PhD.
You know what? For fun, I'm going to have Big E be my science officer. I feel like he'd have a lot of funny sexual puns for scientific things.
How about this? What about the club? They had those doctor's coats for a while.
I never want to see them in that role again. And then Helmsman. Who? No. Oh, okay. Red shirt. Guy who goes down on away teams always to die. That's got to be Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Helmsman. Who can steer your ship true?
Kairi Sane. She seems to know a bit about navigation.
Yeah, right. That's her gimmick.
Yeah.
She's a pirate.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Jim Ross said?
Yeah.
She likes the water vessels. Just thought I'd throw that out for you. More and more, he's becoming Hank Hill. Kairi Sane.
Who would Counselor Troy?
Oh, man.
Who'd fill that role?
I mean, I feel like that'd be like Asuka. You go in there, she'd start yelling at you in a language you don't know what she's talking about. And be like, yeah, I'm going to get my priorities straight.
So I feel like Daniel Bryan would be a good counselor.
Oh, no, that's the best one. Yeah, that's a good one.
I feel
one.
Like he'd be a really good listener.
Okay, that's good.
No. He seems very, like he's full of empathy.
That's a straight-up answer.
wasn't that Counselor Troy? She was empathic? Is that what the phrase is?
Empathic, yeah. She was a betazoid. How about this for Lieutenant Barkley, the guy who goes into the holodeck.
Oh, that's Enzo.
And screws. Yeah, and that's what I said in the first round, but now I like Randy Orton for he goes in the holodeck and screws holodeck people of the crew.
Poops in everybody's holodeck bags, huh?
Exactly.
All right.
Randy Orton's quickly becoming my new favorite in-joke.
Martin Garcia. Who would you guys have picked as Paige's stable? Competitors in the Mae Young Classic or free agents like AJ Lee? I think Sonya Deville is a wise choice.
Yes.
I don't know if Mandy Rose initially projects the necessary gravitas.
I'm not huge on Mandy Rose. We'll
so,
be honest
someone like Jazzy.
I like Jazzy Gabert.
She'd be good.
No, dude. Mm. You know who would look awesome next to Sonya Deville as a henchman?
Mm.
Mercedes Martinez.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. She's true. Like a perfect right-hand man who gets the job done.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that she didn't get a spot.
Yeah, I know. Me too. She's great.
KitchenAid Cruiserweight Champ Ed.
Ed.
Hey, friendos. Good showing by Elias. Looks strong and protected his finisher by not hitting it. Power rank. Oops. Oh, I thought I hit the wrong one at first. Power rank his next three possible programs, assuming titles are not a possibility.
All right. We said this in the first round.
Miz will be the last one. They'll be the reason for his face turn.
Yeah, face turn there.
But before that,
I want to see Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Because that'd be weird.
It would be. They're diametrically opposed.
So Samoa Joe would be a loss for Elias, but then give us a win for Elias. Oh, they already did that. I was going to say Titus or Apollo, but they already kind of did that.
It needs to be a face.
Titus and Apollo are faces.
Yeah. I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
It needs to be a face because he's still going to be.
Hey, you know what would be kind of fun? Broken Matt Hardy versus Elias.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fun. Bring Elias to the Hardy compound.
That would be fun.
That'd be interesting.
That's a good
because
point.
Because Brother Nero does music anyways.
He does.
So there you go.
Villalobos. When The Miz returns for an old dad versus new dad custody feud with Elias, who ends up with Bo and Curtis? The Miz does.
Yeah, The Miz.
Elias will have the face turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be pretty good. Official Fahad. Hey, guys. The vending machines backstage are broken. Which kayfabe wrestlers do you call to fix it? Luke Gallows seems handy.
He seems like a handyman. AJ Styles is probably a handyman.
Yeah, he's probably good with tools.
I would just call the club.
Yeah.
I feel like the club can just get it done.
Yeah.
Ty Dingleberry. What do you think Big Cass would be doing on Raw right now? What do you think Big Cass would be doing on Raw right now? If Cass hadn't been injured, do you think Enzo still would have ended up on 205 Live?
Yeah.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
Cass would be in a feud with Matt Hardy. What other faces are there for? Do you think that his heel run would be over by now?
Maybe he'd be, like, be feuding with Elias Samson at this point.
There you go.
Tommy T, hey friend, so the last few years in wrestling, WWE really stopped running with whoever is really hot or over at any given time. So my question is, because of this, who are the biggest missed opportunities that could have been extremely over if they'd given the proper push when they were most over?
Damian Sandow. Man, that guy could have been massive.
Oh, yeah, he could have been.
On two separate occasions.
I know. I know.
Yeah, that's still bizarre to me. But then, you know, given how... And I don't know this for sure. But, I mean, he had been around for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he went to Impact. He got released around the same time. I don't know if it was in the same batch, but, like, same time around Cody, Ryback, a couple of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryback has his silly podcast. I don't know if he even wrestles. Probably does. Who knows? Who cares? Cody obviously has gone on to do great things.
Yeah.
Sandow ended up in Impact, did a little bit of the indie circuit, and then sort of quit for a little while to focus on something else, maybe acting or something. So I wonder if maybe some of that was... I wonder maybe his heart wasn't all the way into it in terms of like...
I would understand that if you go to Impact and realize that it's not what you were used to in WWE.
Yeah, I know.
Kind of sap your passion.
You're probably right, yeah. Yeah. Because he seemed like the kind of guy who gave it everything he had every single time he was out there. He really did. Man, that's so weird.
I know.
That is so absolutely bizarre.
All right. Karen, you're not me, Bourbon.
Hey.
Hey, friendos. Power rank the top five most prestigious championships in wrestling history.
In wrestling history? Well, I mean, dude, it
has to be the NWA / WCW belt that eventually became the World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at who carried that. Vince Russo.
David Arquette.
David Arquette. Big Papa Pump.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean,
Jeff Jarrett.
You go back at Orville Brown.
Yes. Lou Thesz.
Lou Thesz. Yeah, I'd say the NWA title. And, of course, now Tim Storm making huge strides with that title.
10 pounds of gold.
10 pounds of gold.
I'd say that's one. The WWE Championship, number two.
Oh, I'd say WWE Championship's number one.
Really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Come on, man. Tim Storm has a freaking NWA title.
No, I
right
said
now.
NWA WCW title.
Oh, okay.
That, the NWA title from when WCW split off, is, I feel like, it's a completely different thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying,
oh,
yeah, I'm saying the World Heavyweight Championship in WWE.
Oh, okay.
That belt with that lineage.
Yeah, no, I'd say WWE title because WWE title has Bruno. It's got Bruno. It goes back further.
No, it doesn't. NWA title goes back to the 40s.
Okay, well, dude, which one do you want?
I'm saying
from the WCW on?
No, I'm saying because...
I thought you said you were considering them two different belts.
I am, and the split happens when WCW left the NWA. So from the NWA title up until WCW split...
Oh, that title.
Yes.
I thought you meant... From WCW in 91.
No. I'm saying...
Okay, my bad.
The same belt. This I'm considering the NWA title.
You know what, dude? I still consider the Tim Storm belt part of that legacy, though.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't consider it necessarily the same lineage as the belt that became the World Heavyweight Championship in WWE.
I kind of do because it was. I mean, I know what you're talking about. I know. I see your point, and you're probably right. I don't know. It's one of those things that's kind of silly to sort of split hairs about, I guess.
But anyway, I'd put that number one, and then WWF / WWE Championship. I'd put that two. But it's a 1A, 1B situation.
Yeah, I'll say 1A, 1B.
After that. I guess you have to say the IWGP.
Yeah, that makes
World
sense.
World Heavyweight Championship is three. And I'd say the Intercontinental title, WWE Intercontinental title.
You'd put the Intercontinental title over ECW's World Championship?
Mm-hmm.
But then you got the United States Championship. That's kind of hot shit.
Yeah.
That lineage is pretty fantastic.
No, it's good, but so is the Intercontinental title.
On the other hand, the Intercontinental Championship was made up in a fake tournament.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the first time that happened for a championship belt, though.
Maybe. All right, let's take NWA, WWE, WCW, ECW out of the equation.
All right.
And IWGP.
Okay, so just independent stuff.
Yeah. I guess Ring of Honor, right? Ring of Honor.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Maybe like a, what is it, WWC, Puerto Rico?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's got a lot of history there.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
And that's not to mention CMLL or AAA.
Like Lawler's territory, the Memphis stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of good belts out there.
Yeah. Western States Heritage Champion.
Oh, that's number one right there. What a great question, though.
That is a good question.
Anyways, we're going to do our game.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get a second chance.
I know. I was really impressed that I knew the...
I was very impressed. So we did. So we got a new game. And it was... I want to know which friendo brought this up because I forget who it was.
Yeah, I forget too.
Okay. So this is what we're going to do. It's in a kayfabe corner. And yes, I'm going to let patrons... We are going to let
patrons...
Well,
we're going to do one final kayfabe corner for the last episode of the year. We'll do that.
Fine.
Winner take all.
I like moving on with the future.
I understand, but we need to have some closure.
I won.
No, actually, I won the first time we did this, so I say we do one last kayfabe corner. Closure. Winner take all.
That wasn't the stakes of this game?
Well, I just made it that
And
so.
That first one wasn't even canon. You can't even
I know,
proved.
But I did so well.
Yeah, you did well. You did well. So this is the game. We don't have a name for it. Pay-per-view fabe corner. Pay-per-view kayfabe. No, it didn't work.
That doesn't work at all.
Pay-fabe corner.
Doesn't work.
Anyways, this is the game. Every week, one of us will be challenged with a pay-per-view card, and that person has to say who went over in each match.
Yeah.
Our first.
So last time, when we did this first time, but didn't record audio, we did Clash of Champions 1. I got 3 of the 5 right.
Yeah.
But I got everything right about the main event, which was Sting versus Flair. I said it was a time limit draw, 45-minute time limit.
Ooh, you know what we're going to do this time?
What?
Again, another...
Clash of Champions?
Clash of Champions 2.
Ooh.
What was the subtitle?
I don't know.
Miami Mayhem.
Ooh, that's a good name.
You know where it took place?
Probably Miami.
Yeah, correct.
Miami, Florida or Miami, Ohio?
At the... Florida. At the James L. Knight Center.
What was the attendance?
2,400 people.
Mm.
And the show drew a 4.8 rating.
Not as good as the first Clash of Champions, but not bad.
That's correct. All right.
I'm ready.
Here we go. In a singles match for the NWA United States Heavyweight Championship, the champion, Barry Windham, versus the challenger, Brad Armstrong. Who won?
Oh, Barry Windham.
Very good. In a match that lasted 13 minutes and 35 seconds. Boy, these were quick cards. Second match.
How many matches are there? Five?
Five.
Okay.
Tag team match for the NWA United States Tag Team Championship. Mind you, not the World Tag Team Championship. That was like hot crap. That was in the main event. The champions, the Fantastics, Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers, took on the Sheepherders, Luke Williams and Butch Miller. Who won?
Fantastic.
Very good. Wow. Two in a row. Next up, we've got a tag team match. The Varsity Club, Rick Steiner and Mike Rotunda Man took on Jimmy Garvin and Ronnie Garvin, who won.
Varsity Club.
That's what I would have said, but no, oddly enough, Garvin and Garvin won. Yeah.
Okay.
Were the Garvins related?
I don't know.
Me neither. Wouldn't that be weird if there's two Garvins? In a singles match. Nikita Koloff versus Al Perez. Who won?
Nikita Koloff.
Yeah, right. I don't even know who Al Perez is. And finally, in a tag team match for the NWA World Tag Team Champion. The Enforcer, Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, the champions, versus Sting and Doth the Row, baby. Who won?
Horseman.
I'll give you a clue. Doth the Row, baby.
Oh, okay. No, I already said the Horseman.
I'll give you a clue. That's your clue.
I know, but I already gave you my answer.
Do you want to try again?
Well, then I'll say Sting and Dusty.
No, man, that was my clue.
Dusty finish. Gotcha.
Double DQ.
Nobody wins.
You don't get that one.
No, I don't. I got three still, though.
Good job. Well, is that what you did the first time?
Yeah.
Perfect symmetry.
Wasn't as impressive as a three as the first one because I called the exact finish of the match. But
what's that? You still talking? Right, we got music. Anyways, thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.